You're listening to the Podcast Detroit Network. Visit www.podcastdetroit.com for more information. The views and opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent those of the network, its advertisers, owners, or sponsors.
Hello everyone, and welcome to episode 24-ish, 25, one of those, of Bras, Bitches, and Balls.
24 or 25.
And today we have our guest, Kelly, who will be talking about women in construction and also in general construction topics and container.
Hard hats, houses, things like that.
Women in general.
And construction and reuse of structures and things like that. So this should be really fun. We have Lisa, who no doubt has questions. And I'm Nick, obviously. And here's Lee.
Hi.
You're like, is it obvious?
I don't know. It seems that way.
Hello. All right. So I'm back in the studio today. After being in Mexico on the beach, sitting there reading a book, which was awesome.
You read a book?
I did.
Oh, that sounds fun.
I did. I read a book. It was really, really nice.
What book was it?
The Atomic City Girls. So about the making of the bomb.
Oh, yeah. We talked about that because I want to read Radium Girls, which is not about the making of the bomb, but about the girls who painted the
the clock
glow-in-the-dark clock faces, and they would put the paintbrushes in their mouths. So eventually they lost their teeth and obviously had more issues than that. But the Radium Girls is the book I want to read. But I want to...
The Atomic City Girls, absolutely. You can borrow that book.
I'm still in the middle of a very, very long read. I used to read books like in a night, not nonfiction mostly, but like A Wrinkle in Time, I would stay up with the flashlight on under the covers and read it overnight. And now I'm like two pages in and I fall asleep. Yeah. But I have been reading forever now a book called The Martian's Daughter, which is about a woman who is John von Neumann's daughter. And he was one of the people who was a group of Hungarians who worked on the Manhattan Project. But she, in her own right, was like one of the first women to do a bunch of stuff. And recently was a professor at U of M, but she was on the president's like economic council and all kinds of stuff, and like got a degree in economics when women were like, you get a degree, honey, and then you have babies and you be a wife. And she was like, not going to just do that, thanks. So she had babies, but she also continued working. So it's interesting, but, kind of the one where you read a chapter and then.
So while I was in Mexico, somebody had a birthday.
Who?
Ah, you.
Yeah.
So
I had a birthday last Friday.
So we bring you a little something fun. Would you pass that over?
Absolutely.
Lively picked it out for you.
Oh. he called me a savage.
He did call you a savage.
At least he didn't call you a heathen.
He probably has done that too. Oh, he's a puppy paw necklace.
On a peso.
On a peso. That's so cute. It's like a punched out puppy paw. And obviously everybody knows my obsession with dogs. And we had Rena on last week who joined in my obsession with dogs.
That is the funniest thing you guys got. Like, she lives like three doors down from me.
Oh, that's what Nick said. He's like, and her neighbor. And I'm like,
I was like, wait, my neighbor's coming on?
Yeah.
And I saw her picture on the Facebook page.
She's
and I was
adorable.
Like, oh, I know her.
Yeah.
And does she know who I am? Does she even know which neighbor I am? Nope.
No.
Didn't think so.
No, we're just going to go.
Introduce yourself.
We'll go door to door. We'll have Amy on sometime.
No, we talk. We talk on the street.
Okay,
she just doesn't know who I am, which is fine.
She's just like that deal. Lady with the big floofy dog.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
With a big giant
If we were like,
dog.
Hey, have you seen the giant Malamute? She'd be like, oh, yeah, that yeah. lady. That's yeah. her. This is her podcast. Yeah.
She has nice little soirees at her house every so often.
Oh, we'll have to come for a fundraising soiree.
We can crash
Absolutely.
That.
So I don't know if you listened last week or not. She's like,
I was in Mexico.
No, I mean, not last week, but if you've listened to last week's episode. We had some technical difficulty, so I don't think we had any video.
I looked for the live podcast. I did look for the Facebook Live, and I was like,
yeah,
well, something happened.
And apparently we have a YouTube. We just need to figure out how to name it.
Oh, that's cool.
Bras Bitches, because it's on Podcast Detroit's feed. But Nick's the tech guy. He'll figure that out.
Oh, yeah. I need to sit down. Yeah, I need to sit down with an actual computer to do that.
So oh, yeah, yeah. I'll give you my laptop at some point. You can,
yeah, I can do that.
Oh, my God. Y'all are funny.
Well, I'm not going to give you my laptop because there's like confidential proprietary information, but I'll let you sit down with it.
Yeah, I've got one out there.
You'll let it visit.
Cool.
Right. We can have supervised visitation.
So if you do watch, if you listen regularly, you'll also know that Lisa and I listen to a murder podcast.
Which one?
Multiple, but my favorite murder is the
my favorite
main
murder.
One. That's the one I got Lee into podcasting. Yeah. And then she was like, people podcast? Let's do one.
I don't know anything about this, but sounds like fun. I love microphones. So on my last night in Chicago, because we went Mexico.
I was
going
to say, you're going to have to get people to Chicago because they're in Mexico on a beach right
we
now
We went
with you.
To Mexico and I sent everybody palm trees, pictures, and they hated me.
When I had no heat.
Sorry.
Speaking of not swearing, I'm going to get that out right now.
Thank you very much. It was fun. Well, I want you to think warm. And then we came back for a day and then we went to Chicago. Now, what I don't do is I don't post my travel on Facebook because I don't want – because my house gets out there somehow. Maura put my house out there the other day. I was like, wait.
What?
Well, because it was written up in some architectural thing. So, yeah, I don't put out when I travel. So I've been in Chicago, and we got back last night from that. And why were we in Chicago? Because we're building another store in Chicago. There's going to be a busted bra shop
Isn't
in Chicago.
Isn't it opening, like, in 2 weeks?
Something like
Ish.
That.
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I have a lot to do. Yeah, I'm insane. Anyway, so on our last night, about 5 o'clock in the morning, maybe a little bit, 5:10, I woke up because I had been having a nightmare about my favorite murder. And I had been listening to the podcast, and this made-up thing, I made up a murder in my head that had to do with two guys and a girl and a sex octagon and, you know, crazy shit.
Not a dungeon, but an octagon.
Yeah, whatever. Just to... Whatever. Lots of people. Not Thunder a triangle.
Dome, sex version. Exactly. Thunderdome.
Oh, you meant like not a physical octagon, sex. But like an issue between eight different people.
Yeah. Oh. A whole bunch of people were there.
Oh, yeah. I was
thinking dungeon
MMA.
And
exactly.
It's MMA sex cult.
Like, so take it in now.
Yeah.
So apparently this two
no
men and this chick
barred.
Get in and they seduce a couple of people and... And,
we mean, apparently it was your dream.
Right. And then they murder them and then, like, acid burn the bodies.
Write
out.
That down.
That was, yeah, write down. I think I can remember it. Oh. So I had been listening to it and then I went and met these people because apparently they play with them for a week or so and then kill them. And I was like, oh, wait, that's them. These are the murderers. You're with my friends. Oh no, my friends. Ah. So instead of going to the police, I go over to their house later.
That sounds like a good way to get murdered.
Direct path.
I think I'll take care of it. Hey, so we need to talk in front of the murder.
And by the way, I didn't tell anyone that I was coming, just FYI.
Yeah. Nobody knows I'm here.
And he pulled out the GPS on my phone off so everyone knows where I am.
No one can find me.
And the whole time I was thinking, they would be so disappointed in me.
They would.
I did not.
They would
do
be like,
this,
you did not stay sexy way. And not get murdered.
Did not do it. So, but I woke up before he killed me, and then I thought, how would I have gotten out of that situation? Like James
now
Bond.
Now you need to write a story.
Oh yeah, yeah.
But somehow you need to incorporate like a trunk sale with it because I mean, this is like, you know, sex Thunderdome. So busted, should have like a full trunk.
That's true.
Show.
That would work.
You know, get your accessories.
It could
you
be
enter.
Like one of those advertisements that's written up like an article, only it's a story, an advert written as a short story.
Uh-huh. I like that. Oh, and speaking of busted, since we are the sponsor of the show, we do have the Bra of the Week, and it's out on our Facebook page. And
I was
going to
ask about that.
Say, it's like, it is. It's like the Emperor's new bra right
I know.
Now.
I was going to say, like, you're back, and I don't see Betty.
Because I didn't go in the store.
Well, last week I brought in my... my own bra 30.
Bra 30s have been going well. Like, well, I need to
maybe
reorder
it's
them.
From the podcast.
Could be.
It's got to be all about, yes. So what is the bra 30?
It is like a not real, it's a compression
It's a compression
top.
Shirt.
So it's like a squishy tank top to hold you in when you're just hanging around the house.
Is it, wait, is it the one that only comes down to there?
Okay. And there's three different lengths.
And it's like ribby.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
But I like this one because the one that's shorter because it doesn't walk up.
Yeah. The long one does this thing like that.
You have to tuck it into a pair of pants or it's going to walk up.
Yeah. It's like the camisoles that are stretchy. They always end up like right all bunched up here. Like,
there's a bunch of different
I need a onesie.
Vendors that gave me samples of those type of things. And I was like, they walk right up because my hips are bigger than my waist because I'm that shaped like that.
Which most people are. Yeah. Most women are.
Well, some men do. But anyway, so there you go. Bra 30. So, bra 30 is
but
great.
This but week you have a goddess sports bra.
Goddess sports bra that's on. It is a non-wired. It is. It has different parts to the cup, so it does support amazingly well. Mm-hmm. And it goes all the way to a 40i. 48i. I go to a 48i. It holds a lot of boob too. So if you're out there thinking that won't fit, come and give it a try.
Well, especially sports bras because they're not quite the same in terms of how much.
Well, this one especially is it holds just a really deep breast. So if you're very round,
so if you have Melanie breasts, you that. Works for you.
Yeah. And the support. So Melanie.
What is that?
Not Melanie, the name. Like a melon.
Oh, like a melon. Melons. I was like what melons. Is she talking
like
about?
Melons, you got
like, who's Melanie?
Yeah.
At first, I was like, wait.
Damn it, Janet.
No.
Yeah, wait, who's Janet? Janet?
Yeah.
I know who Janet is.
Yeah. So, but let me ask. All right. So, I think sports bras are just about the only thing I haven't purchased from Busted. And sports bras can be challenging. Mm-hmm. Not so much for me because of my personal physique, but I had some friends who, when we ran cross country and everything else, they would actually have to wear two sports bras.
Yes. Yep. My sister would say she had to double bag them.
Yep. To get the support needed.
In boot camp, I had a girl who ace bandaged her boobs and then put on sports bras. She was
it's like
insane.
Revolutionary War pretending to be a man kind of situation going on there.
But it was if you're going to run that far.
Oh, yeah, because they hurt when they
And they're
mine aren't super huge, but it hurts when they.
Yeah.
So we have so many different types of sports bras. I've got sports bras with wires. I've got sports bras without. Some that are more for yoga. Some that are.
They're maybe more forgiving versus high impact kind of.
Exactly. Okay. And the high impact ones, half the time I call them booby armor. And so when I'm talking to somebody in the dressing room, I'm like, you have to tell me what level you want because I have about 10 to choose from.
So what the activity is. Well, you do the same thing with shoes. It's like you buy the shoes that are appropriate for the activity. Mm-hmm. Right. So
good point. Yeah.
Now, so one of my pet peeves with sports bras is I want one that's wicking, but I found that there are some sports bra material that I wear cotton t-shirts to work out on that I don't wear
the
synthetic.
Like Lisa has on right now.
Yeah. I don't wear that. But if I'm wearing a cotton t-shirt with some sports bras, the material in the sports bra like stick together and then it's just
and it's just
miserable.
Like a static cling.
Yeah. So how's the material on it? Does it move independently of cotton
shirts? That one would
shirts?
Be fine. The one that I'm thinking of now would be fine because I have a lot of women who wear it as their everyday bra too because it supports that well. If you're a nurse or you work in different factories, we've got people who work
again,
with
just like the nursing shoes, the nursing bra. Yeah. Not, the well, you have nursing bras too, but it's
and we'll have that on later.
Bra for nurses.
Bra for nurses. The nursing bras. You are screwed. So we have lots of different options, and I always say if you're going to wear it with maybe you only have a couple shirts that you wear for sports, bring it in.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense.
And I have a new one coming in that you might like that's also antimicrobial, so it'll keep the stink out.
Can't hear? Can I hear?
Keep.
No, I'm just getting like a little buzz. No, it's fine.
You're buzzed?
I'm not buzzed.
That's because you're drinking whiskey and your Coke again.
Are you? Yeah.
No, he's not.
I made that up.
No,
it's happened, though.
I know,
okay.
Yes.
We have business to take
so,
care of.
Okay, so we covered the Busted opening in Chicago. The Bra of the Week is on the website.
Yeah.
So and I mentioned last week, and you should mention it again and talk about the terms because I didn't want to say anything that was wrong, that you are doing layaway.
Yeah, I am doing layaway, absolutely, which I think is
How's that been going?
Retro of me.
It is very retro. But it's all things old become new again, right?
Like, yeah, it's
a lot
it's
of
actually
stores
working
are
really
doing
well.
Play away.
So when you come in, you want to buy a couple bras, but you want that one on the side. You know it's a fashion color. You don't want it to go away, but you can't buy it all right now. $20 for a bra, put it on layaway. You have 90 days to pay it off. If you don't pay it off in the 90 days, we contact you. I can't get it right now. We can extend that for a couple more weeks, but we can also put it back in stock and we can put $20 on credit on your account. So you're never going to lose the money.
But don't you charge a restocking fee?
Oh, and then there's a restocking fee.
So it's a $10 restocking fee and $10 that you would get on a card to use again.
See, you know it better than I do.
Okay, good. So, yeah. I just wanted to make sure I got that right because I think I said something last week about $20 and I was like, and then I don't know the rest of the terms.
You got it. That's it. That's
but you
the
can
one.
Do layaway. It's cool.
Yeah. And don't you have like a bride something?
Oh, the
thing
Brides
going
of March?
Too?
Yeah.
Is the that, Brides oh, of March is almost over.
I was going to say it's the last week of March, so probably so. Still going on, right?
Yeah. Because April 1st is Easter on Sunday. And yeah.
That's ironic.
Jesus did not rise.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Okay. Yes.
That was the longest April Fool's joke ever.
Hey, it's not up, a bunny. It's really a.
He gave up his weekend card. For your sins. So. Right. Sorry.
So, anyway, on to not blasphemous stuff.
And I thought I saw an Instagram post also about something for April. That you had already rolled out.
Do you have a...
For April? April, no. No. We have a prom thing. Pre-prom.
Oh, yeah,
thing.
That's
yeah.
It. Prom.
Yeah. Class of 2018 is getting 18% off all of their foundation wear right now.
Oh, that's special.
Isn't that
you guys,
cute?
Yeah. My family, my brother and sister-in-law, my nieces are on their way to Chicago. I believe they're driving down today and then taking the train from like the Lansing area.
Yeah.
But my oldest niece is turning 15 in a couple of weeks.
You okay with that?
She's no, she just there's just signed her up for driver's education.
that is like a nightmare right there.
Yeah,
sending your child to or your niece.
She's so grown up. It makes me sad.
Is she
but
going
also
to prom?
Happy? She's very cool. Oh no, I don't think so. I don't know. She goes to snow coming and all of that, but it's always like with her girlfriends.
Snow coming.
Yeah. It's like the basketball version of homecoming, I guess.
That's cute.
So, yeah, now they have like another reason to buy a freaking dress.
Dude, rent the runway.
Well, there's a cool place. So my nieces live in Northern Michigan and their people don't have a lot of money. So I actually just sent a bunch of dresses up to her that I will never fit into again. So, they kind of are the dress stop for a lot of the kids to borrow and switch out dresses. But there is a really cool nonprofit up there called Chelsea's Closet. I believe it's tax exempt. I'm not sure. But Chelsea's Closet basically is a place where kids can go check out dresses, wear a dress to the prom, and then return it. And
oh,
not
it's
have
a dress library.
Yes.
That's nice. That's
so
nice.
Rather than paying $100 and some for a dress you're going to wear one time and then you're going to get hips and never be able to wear it again, or it's hideous or both, you know, you can go check out the dress and then actually be able to go to prom and not have to worry about not having the money to take part
in
that.
That's good. That's
nice.
That experience.
Nice. That's really cool.
I made my own dress. Yeah, I think so.
She's really an excellent seamstress.
I'm not an excellent seamstress, but I had the good fortune of growing up. I grew up in South Texas, like right on the border
of
Mexico. Mm-hmm. And right outside of Brownsville, South Padre Island, that area.
Okay.
And there are a lot of people there who are amazing seamstresses.
Yeah, they're way better than me. Like, she's talking me way up. I can just follow lines. That's what I do.
But it was cool because like – you know, I made a sketch and I took it in and the lady was like, okay, go buy this and come back.
It.
And so like I actually loved my prom dress because it was like that crazy whimsical kind of – it was black. It was a black prom dress. But I got to have it made and customized because the whole idea – I remember going into a store, which was like Dillard's. And looking around going, oh, no.
These are too poofy.
Too pink, too poofy, not, you know.
I went totally pink. Totally pink.
Okay,
I was like, if I can't wear black, I'm going to go. as pink as I can find it.
So the one I made sequins. Was dark purple with a black bow on the bottom.
Nice.
Yeah. Yeah, my mom used to make dresses for me, but then I went and made enough money. I was like, I'm going to go buy one at a store. And had
moving
to
on
myself.
Up.
I know. It felt awesome.
So why couldn't you wear black?
My mother thought that black was too adult for me to wear. Oh, it was way too light.
Which is why you wear like head to toe black now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Because now she's an adult. She can do what she likes.
So and I think your mom listens.
I know.
Thanks, Mom. Oh, I just went out. Thank you. Hello?
Hello?
No, you're not.
I hear you.
I hear you.
You
can hear me? Okay. Yeah. It just
might be the headphones.
Yeah.
I think there might be some headphones.
But I did look at a couple of black bathing suits and she was like, absolutely not. No. No way. Huh. Couldn't wear black, but I could wear. She put me one time in a dress that, have I told you this story? That came straight down and attached at the waist. No back.
No. Just
like a big old halter.
But it was light pink, so it was okay.
It was like a slate gray with big sequins. Huh. And it had a little purple shimmer to it. And I was like, Mom, my boobs are kind of out. She was like, honey, your boobs aren't big enough. Nobody's ever going to accuse you of being too sexy.
I was like, oh, unless you wear
black.
Thanks, Mom. And also, unless
I
wear
black.
Who needs
a black dress when you have shade like that?
That amazing. Is some shade thrown. Yeah, my dad was good at that, too.
She probably doesn't remember that.
No body dysmorphia issues here. So speaking of sewing, though, I've got to show you what my mom made me for my birthday, which were coats for all four of my monsters.
Oh.
Really?
That are reversible. One side is Michigan State, my alma mater, and the other side is Florida State.
Yeah, I know why.
Which is dumb, but my boyfriend is a Florida State fan.
Oh, okay.
So, needless to say, everybody's got Michigan State side showing up.
Sure.
That's fantastic.
But they're aww. Adorable, yeah. And she actually made one for my friend Ramona, too, and it's U of M because she's a U of M fan.
That's sweet.
I told Marshall, I'm like, you should put this on one of the dogs and take a picture to show people because she'll sell them. And actually, I'm an investor in a doggy daycare down in Austin, Texas with a friend of mine from back home. And she sent like 10 or 12 down to her.
Oh.
So we'll see how they sell in the retail shop. But anyway, they're super cute.
They sound it.
And Jaeger, my little spazzy beagle, will not take his off. Like, as soon as I put it on, he started growling at the other dogs. And he looks like a little mini Shetland pony jousting, like getting ready for a joust. You know, they have the – he wanders around the backyard with it on. It's hilarious. The rest of them are just like, yeah, whatever. He's like, I got a blanket I can take with me everywhere.
That's hilarious.
They're super cute. So I will show you a picture after.
I am excited about that. I'm excited about that. So this year – I think, with the 8 at the end, and I've said this before, is the year of the woman. The shape of the 8, you know, curvy.
Oh, the 8. I was like, what are you talking about? The 8.
Yeah. 8.
Okay.
2018.
It's the hourglass.
Right? We are in 2018.
Yeah, we're in 2018.
I didn't lose
a year
anywhere,
right? It's the Venus of Willendorf or, you know, the hourglass.
Well, we're a quarter of the way through already.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, we are. 2018 is going to be better, but it is the year of the woman. Yeah. In my opinion. And so we do have Kelly on with us to talk about women in construction, women in hard hats. And, you know, I was a woman chemist, and I got to wear hard hats when I would go out into the plant and everything and had to wear steel-toed shoes and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, OSHA compliance.
Yeah, there you
it's
go.
It's important. OSHA compliance is
OSHA.
A thing.
OSHA compliance. Yeah.
Wasn't it like 9,000, 3,000?
Right. Sexy.
OSHA 3,000 or something.
Yeah, there's lots of numbers. I'm not the OSHA compliant.
We were getting
person.
Compliant at that point. Oh, I think when I was there.
I was going to say, I think you're thinking of Mystery Science Theater.
I am. Well, I remember, I was like, I'll never remember this because of Mystery Science Theater.
Yeah, so, thank you so much for having me.
Thanks
this
for
great.
Coming down on a Wednesday morning. Hope it wasn't too early for you.
No, it wasn't. And, you know, it was nice. It was nice getting in this morning. So, yeah. So, I work with 3Squared, and we are an alternative energy cargo architecture construction management company.
So, you take the big things that we see on trains.
trains, boats,
shipping yards.
Yeah,
shipping containers, yards. The big shipping containers. Mm-hmm. And you turn them into a place to live or store things or make things.
Yes, we do. So we take used shipping containers. We don't like to use new ones because there's really no point in that.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense.
Yeah, not from ecological or from a financial side. And we use them to build stuff, whether it's a home, a building, an office space. We just, in Midtown here in Detroit, we just finished working on our portion of a restaurant beer garden, which is super cool.
Is that the one over in Indian Village?
No, it's in Westville, or it's in Midtown. It's on Peterborough.
Oh.
Just off Cass.
Wait, I ate at Peterborough
like
the other
day. Selden,
it's over by K9 to 5.
Yeah, it's right around the corner.
Yeah.
And there's a restaurant called Peterborough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's delicious. Yeah.
Phenomenal.
We went there the other night. I was like, this is the best thing I have eaten in a long time.
Hmm.
Very good.
Yeah.
Not for the vegetarian. I mean, they do have vegetarian things, but the pork belly.
It's another Detroit restaurant where the menu is.
No, there are lots of vegetarian.
Okay.
Things.
Okay. Cool,
no, I was
cool,
just saying this is that like one dish that I thought was fantastic. No, they do this thing with greens that you'll.
Oh, okay. Cool. Fine.
Shit a kitten. Right. It's really good. So sorry. Yeah. Go ahead. Peterborough.
Shit a kitten.
That's clearly a southern thing. They do a lot of things with cats in southern slang.
Apparently.
Yeah.
That sounds like a really uncomfortable thing, really.
Oh, yeah, the whole cat on a hot tin roof thing.
Yeah.
How to skin a cat.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, construction.
So we digress.
Poor cats.
It's really only limited by your imagination. One of the things that I talk to people about is that we're essentially using upcycled steel frame construction, because something that most folks don't know about containers is they are a steel exoskeleton with a skin on it, and they actually only touch in 4 points.
Okay.
So you can really manipulate them. You can blow out the walls. You can take out ceilings, floors, stack them, turn them.
Wait, so the frame itself is then covered in the skin, so you can actually – the structural integrity isn't affected by cutting out like a section because – the steel framing is only
the steel framing
portion of the
right.
Yeah.
I mean, the sides of it certainly add rigidity. It is 18 gauge corrugated steel, but it's not the main part of it. It's not the bones of it.
Right.
So that's why we can, you know, if you go into Detroit Ship & Co., which is the name of the restaurant beer garden on Peterborough.
Is it open?
It will be open soon. I think their goal is for opening day.
We have a lot of tomorrow. We have a lot of field trips to go on. We have to do goat yoga. We're going to have to go check out this place because
Podcast Detroit has a beer Mobile. Or wine.
Yeah. So, but that's why you can make them multiple stories tall, wide. The other thing, too, is that shipping containers come in 10, 20, 40, and 53-foot lengths.
So they're not like a one size.
They are not. So for anybody who played Tetris.
Love Tetris.
Uh-huh.
So we're laughing about this because we went to a horror con. In Sterling Heights, and they had a video gaming room.
So
her son, who, you know, is a 10-year-old boy, so he's like knows his stuff. We're out there. We're playing Tetris. And Lee was not good.
That was not good.
Come on, spatial relation.
I was like, but yeah.
Oh,
but
wow.
She was amazing.
I spent a lot of time playing Tetris.
Put me in front of Galaga. I'm awesome. But Tetris, I did okay. I just had to think about the fingers and the
– which way it goes.
Wait. Oh, that was so funny.
Anyway, if you play Tetris, you can put together steel shipping containers. I would not recommend allowing Lee to do that.
I think Lee has found her niche. We'll support her in that.
I'll take care of the boobs. You take care of the shipping containers. But my husband and I do have a dream for shipping containers. Mm-hmm. We want to make our own Italian villa in the city of Detroit so that it's open in the middle.
Yes.
And just do the square
around
out of shipping containers.
That is absolutely perfect.
Palazzo. So we've decided that, you know, as the value of our house keeps going up and we need to go find a plot of land someplace. Mm-hmm.
You're like, we're going to sell that bitch and move on.
Well, yeah. And the other part of it, too, is, you know, I love doing work that's sustainable. However, I have to interact with people who are like, I'm a banker. I need to finance this project. Right. what is the ROI? Da, da, da. So it has to make financial sense as well.
So, and are these easily, like, have you seen banks being willing to finance them? Because banks are notoriously conservative and this is a not a brick and mortar. Yeah. Right.
It's she new. And I actually talked about turning turning some shipping containers into a headquarters for Busted with a store on underneath and offices and storage space up above.
We should revisit that.
I think we should revisit it too, because as we've looked at different buildings and fixing them, that's not as cost effective as
The cost of new versus the cost of reno, you know, that's always you have to look at the whole scope of a project.
And I mean, the problem with a lot of Detroit buildings is not just the actual renovations and they're beautiful, old, well-constructed buildings, but that also means that they're old construction that is not just
slap some material that you're going to have
slap some sticks up there and put some drywall on. It's plaster and all of that. And also a lot of them have
asbestos,
things like environmental issues that you're like,
asbestos.
Do I really want to buy into that, or do I deal with something that is environmentally sound but not a potential risk?
Yeah. And that brings up a really good point. So there's lots of different things to consider whenever you're going into any real estate or development project. And it has to be a good fit. You know, some projects, it's more important about the aesthetics or the overall operating costs, or, you know, there's all these different variables. And that's one of the things you have to approach when you go into it. But going back to your question about banking and financing. So 3Squared has actually been in business since 2005.
Oh, wow. Okay. You've got a track record.
Yeah, which that's something a lot of people don't know, because we built our first building in April 2015, but we've been around a lot longer. The spring of 2008, we were getting ready to break ground on a condo complex in Woodbridge.
What happened in 2008, I wonder?
The best decision ever was not to do that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, I think we'll just shutter for a while and see what happens here.
And, you know, it ended up being a great thing, because the company really took that time to go back, work on methods, processes, did a lot of product testing, did a lot of container testing, stress testing. We hold engineering judgments. We hold several patents and provisional patents.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. And a lot of lessons learned. Yeah. One of the big things does relate to safety. Like, how can you take these, you know, 10,000-pound containers and swing them through the air and stack them precision on top of each other without having anyone's fingers there?
Oh, that you don't want to have a bunch of claims.
It's a good idea to not have fingers.
People.
Yeah.
Right. No. I crushed my little finger in between two bowling balls right before we left. I would hate a shipping container.
Yeah, you would lose your finger then. Yeah. You would just crush it. You would lose it.
Yeah. So, you know, so now we have patents on stacking devices and
that's
things like that. Yeah. So, and that's why we can erect a 17,000 square foot apartment building in Columbus, Ohio. Yeah, I know.
She's over there doing a Beavis and Butthead. She's an erect.
But we did it in 5 days in February in the snow.
Holy crap.
Didn't I see a video of that? Did you show me
a
video?
Probably. It's quite possible.
And we took a tour.
Can you share a video of that with
– I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll send it to you guys.
Like, okay, that'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be really cool.
That'd be nice.
We took a tour of your –
The Model Center.
The Model Center down in Corktown. Mm-hmm. And the amount – first of all, it was so freaking quiet on the inside. Like, my biggest takeaway was – holy crap, these are quiet. Because when you open the window, you're like, yeah, here you can hear the highway. But when the windows are closed, you're like,
nothing.
Super quiet. But the different kind of, you can have the exposed walls or the vinyl wallpaper, like the treatments
you
can do
on
the interior and the exterior, it was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, anything that you do in traditional stick frame construction, you can do with containers. But one of the things you cannot do with stick frame containers is build things in a third of the amount of time or get up to 40% additional energy efficiencies or save 26% on your overall development costs. Mm-hmm. You can't do that. But we can do that with containers. And
they go up really, really fast.
And you can do a basement. Right?
Yeah.
You can just
– you can do any type of foundation you want. You can do traditional basement. You can do ICF basement, or you can do a basement out of containers. So it really just depends on what the scope of it is and what your environmental situation is as well.
What does ICF stuff for?
I don't know what it actually stands for, but it's this super engineered high efficiency blocks.
Okay.
Yeah. I learned that only 2 months ago.
I don't have a phone in front of me. I was going to say, my banana is not a computer.
Well, I was going to say, hello?
Is it a Lily Tomlin?
Python? Oh, no. I thought it was a Lily Tomlin.
I think it is. Maybe it is. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. And we're back. Yeah, I was going to Google it, but one, my phone is in the car charging, and two, even if it were in front of me, my phone and Podcast Detroit hate each other, so I can't Google. Mm-hmm. But ICF, we'll have to Google that for what the acronym stands for.
Okay, but a general description is probably useful too.
Efficient. It's energy efficient.
And that's one of the big things is like, we want to build things that are as sustainable and as energy efficient as possible. The ancillary benefit is that it is much more financially mm-hmm. sound as well. But in that, we also do a lot of different product testing. We have our model center that we do ongoing product testing. We have our engineers who do ongoing product testing. So we're always pursuing like, hey, you know, what's a paint? What's a better paint? What's a better insulator? What's better this? It goes on. And we have currently a 700-page intellectual property manual.
Wow.
That I get to help.
Oh, that sounds
moderate.
That sounds like reading kind of forks and eyeballs situation.
I love it.
You guys have a little bit of that in common.
Yeah. I do.
Lawyers
just not
that like to read.
The IP isn't an issue for it's more the patent stuff where it's just like you have to have a science background. And so it's like, you're a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, I did IP work before.
Oh, see, so
intellectual property.
Yeah.
And I have an engineering background, so.
Oh, see, so you understand it all.
Yeah. I nerd out
badass.
On that. Nerd out.
You nerd, see, and I nerd out on real estate stuff, but more the finance and the actual dirt side of things and IP. I'm like, I mean, I know like software kind of stuff, but when you get to
So
all
you
the
guys
stuff where you're like mechanisms.
One hell of a
and
team there, kids.
Fun.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
There you go.
But it is also different. And to your point, anything different is new, is scary, is, you know, how do you make it palatable?
Mm-hmm.
How do you make it palatable to banks, to insurance agencies,
to all the people you need to make it palatable to? Because usually the person who is interested in buying, they want it, but they've got to jump through the, my bank finance it. Can I get it appraised? Will somebody insure it? Mm-hmm. So all of those third parties have to be happy. So you're having good experience.
Very good experience. But we also approach this very much so from we are stewards of this industry. And in our stewardship, we reach out, we host, you know, regular lunch and learns, tour groups. Like I call up, you know, cold call banks and appraisers and insurance and say, hey, you want to come down and learn about shipping containers, cargo architecture, fire departments, like the fire department.
Oh,
we love them. But they're like, we need to know how to train our people on getting through this.
Yeah, because usually if you're chopping through a wall, you have an axe and you can do that. When you're chopping through a container, it's not quite the same situation.
Not the same, but the added advantage is that, the inside will burn, but it won't come down.
Mm-hmm.
Just like my family's from Louisiana and being on the Gulf, it's like this is perfect for hurricanes, for floods. Like it ain't going anywhere because if you think about it, they are stacked 8 high on ocean-going vessels.
They don't move.
Using just sea clamps.
And those things deal with high winds.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I mean, and the same thing with tornadoes.
Like, I'm telling you, I just think that I need to go find a piece of land and we just go build our own place.
Yeah. So
the dogs could just go in the middle.
A little dog farm.
Dog farm.
You have a little fountain so they have water. And
you can have
go in the middle.
Those roll-up doors or push-out doors. So you have really nice indoor-outdoor space.
Mm-hmm. Don't have to worry about a fence. It. You can watch them.
Making a little compound.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have so many questions.
Bring it. Amazing.
So Nick's like, I'm so surprised.
Curiosity factor is awesome, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I have more personal questions first to start out with. So not super personal.
I think Lee does.
Yeah.
Always do.
So you had mentioned that your family's from Louisiana. And before we got on air, you mentioned that you grew up in South Texas.
Yes.
So sounds like you spent all your time in the South.
Mm-hmm.
How did you end up in
Michigan?
Michigan.
Okay. So my family, like my grandparents and my parents, are from Louisville, Kentucky.
Louisville.
You're
going to go to Louisville next month.
We're going to go to Louisville, that one out there.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know what I'm doing, my son is in the studio.
There's a ghost out there.
On the other side of the door. We can't hear.
One out there.
He is going to the World Championships for robotics.
Yay!
I know. Amazing, that kid. He was 256th in the world, 7th in our state. At the end of the last tournament that he thought he was going to, did not make it to Worlds, was the only team out of his class that didn't go. And we heard at the last tournament that there would be one more skills tournament, which is where you program the robot, you put it down, and it does its own thing. It's totally autonomous. Mm-hmm. And so he said, I think my programming can get better before in a few days before I go to this, and I want to join that tournament. And we were like, okay. Whatever you want, man. If you want to give it a shot, no big deal. Because we're not the parents to go, just don't set yourself up for disappointment.
Oh, no. You're like, am I doing it?
I'm like, sure. Go ahead. Give it a shot. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And he did it, and he emerged from that tournament 17th in the world.
Whoa.
Nice.
Yeah. And so he's going to the world's tournament in Louisville, Kentucky.
That is so cool.
Which we have family in, and we can...
Yeah. Hang out.
We know where all the bourbon is stashed.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, your family is from Louisville.
Yes.
Some of your family is from Louisville.
We might be related. Actually, but it's my husband's family, so I'm not related.
I'm good. Yeah. So my dad's mother is from New Orleans, and her family's been there for a very long time. And, my parents moved down to South Texas because they had an idea that you've grown up in Kentucky, and despite going to Louisiana and everything else, this is a very homogenous environment, and you need to experience something different. So we, at the age of 10, uprooted and moved to South Texas.
Your parents sound cool.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's one way of putting it.
Yeah, or crazy, whatever.
They are very cool. They are very, they're very open-minded. They really were like, you need to experience things.
Were they total hippies?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Because at one point,
did you eat granola and like natural food?
Oh, honey, I lived on a commune.
Oh, nice. My God, now I have more questions.
Yeah. My mom was a midwife. My dad,
that's awesome.
Construction. There's a lot of depth there. But yeah, so we moved to South Texas. But then that was around the same time as NAFTA. Right.
Right.
So NAFTA rolled out. There was a lot of people from Michigan who got relocated to South Texas. I had the very, very good fortune to go to a phenomenal high school, the Science Academy of South Texas.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. And it was basically built by NAFTA parents who were like, the education system sucks.
Yeah.
We're building. And it was a magnet school. They pooled kids from three counties.
They're like, we're used to engineering people and stuff.
Well,
they all were engineers.
Yeah. They were all Ford GM engineers who moved down there.
So there wasn't a lot of social stuff going on.
I'm joking.
Engineers can be social.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say?
But
we built robots that blew things up.
The slide rule collection.
But the flip side of that was when it came time for like college recruiting, which our high school counselors were amazing because there were tons of kids and we were all very poor but smart because you had to get into the school. You had to take exams to stay there. And they were like, MIT, you need to get your recruiters down here. And no, none of my kids are paying the application fee. You want them. They don't want you.
Dang.
Right.
And
way to be advocates.
Yes.
School counselors.
Yes, every single teacher, every single administration, everyone at that school. And because of that, like, we all got to go on and do what we wanted to do. And yeah, so that's how I ended up. I was in engineering. I ended up in Detroit because of NAFTA, U of D. I got an amazing scholarship, an amazing opportunity. And I started off in engineering, and it was like a dual program between Monterey Tech and U of D. So I've always kind of like skirted that edge.
School. School brought her here.
School. Mm-hmm. So then you stayed. And then how did you get involved in the construction side of things? Because you, what did your degree was in engineering?
No, my degree is in math and history.
But that's how, I was like, how did you know Finkenbein? Because I remember us talking about that. So you, the history.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I ended up with degrees in math and history. I went to Marquette in Milwaukee for postgraduate research.
Okay. I thought you were talking Marquette, the city. I'm like, so you went to
Everybody thinks that. And I'm like, no.
No, the university.
Yeah.
How did I – so my family's from in construction. My grandparents owned one of
you said
those,
your dad was in construction.
Yeah. And it originated with my grandparents post-World War II. So they at one point had one of the largest construction companies in Kentucky, southern Ohio, southern Indiana. Built most of the roads. You know, this is post-World War II, baby boomers.
Tons of construction.
Tons. Yeah. So they put in roads, anything – ground, grade level, and below for all these new neighborhoods that were going in.
So they did a lot of the infrastructure.
Infrastructure, you know, which is cool because it's like I drive around Kentucky and my dad's like, yeah, your grandparents built that. Yeah, that retaining wall, you know.
That is so cool.
And then my dad started working for the company when he was 14. And most of the family, my dad's the middle of eight kids, worked for the company. My mom was a company bookkeeper. She worked hand in hand with my grandmother. And that was the thing. Like, both my grandparents worked actively in the company. My grandmother had an accounting and finance degree from Tulane.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Your grandmother?
My grandmother. And Tulane. Yeah. Not the women's
college? The women's college affiliated with?
Yeah. She was like, oh, no. It's from Tulane because they didn't have an accounting.
You're like, oh, women's can't do maths.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, no. So she was a CPA. But she tells stories of how – as a woman, you could not bid on state contracts, construction contracts, like road contracts. You could if you were a woman at that time. So she would bring my Uncle Ronnie.
You need a man to do it for you.
Mm-hmm. You need to have a
and
man.
This is why they now want women and minority-owned businesses, because they did shit like that.
Well, here's the thing is that my grandmother would bring my Uncle Ronnie, who at the time was 14. She'd bring him. She's like, I got my man.
I brought a penis like, with me.
Yeah. Exactly.
Here is a token man. There are the right chromosomes for you.
Who did the song Detachable Penis?
I don't know. Nick, do you have your computer with you?
I don't know, but we can look up Detachable Penis.
Yeah, go
Detachable Penis. I suspect the results are going to be...
Oh.
Aha.
Nice. I don't think so, but that was awesome.
well played, Lee. Well played.
So the 14-year-old boy who can't sign a contract is a better option than the woman who knows what she's doing.
Exactly. And that was a lot of it. But there was also a very realistic side to it where, you know, and this is the part that a lot of times people don't talk about, is that having my grandmother run the business, she knew what was going on. She knew the workers that were going to drink away their paycheck before it got home. She knew all that stuff. And she had a lot of heart and realistic components to it. So, yeah, she would drive paychecks and put it in the wife's hand. And she would have no problem saying,
I know Bob's
no.
going to run to the bar before he gets home. Mm-hmm. So here you go. You can go buy groceries.
Right. Mm-hmm. So there was a lot of that very practical.
And compassionate.
Mm-hmm. And the whole idea of being a business owner where the people who work for your company make up your company and are the pillars of it. Mm-hmm. And you have to support them.
Mm-hmm.
So
and not try to suck everything you can out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I was in Chicago the other day, and right beside our store is a paw shop. So it's this place you go buy doggy stuff.
Right.
And so I'm standing there waiting to talk to someone because they've been collecting my mail. And another customer was in there. She said, I see you have a neighbor bringing in your stuff. Is it a woman-owned business? And they said, well, the woman's standing behind you. And I was like, yes, it is actually a woman-owned business. Oh, really? So you own all of it? I was like, no, I right now own 90% of it. My husband has 10. But it is a woman-owned business. She's like, okay, fantastic. But, you know, it is important to people still now they want to shop with us. But as a store that sells to women, is it a woman-owned business that sells to women? Or, I thought it was pretty. I thought it was a very nice question.
I'm still stuck on the paw shop.
Isn't that cute?
Is the end like there but hanging down? Because that would be super cool.
No, but that would be cute, especially if there was a doggy bite taking it around.
That's true.
Sprocket and Stone is the name of that one. It's a really, really cute.
Get with them and let them know they should definitely put an N on the bottom.
Up their branding.
Up their branding.
It is a really cute logo, though. I've seen it. She sent pictures before, and they do have a great logo and everything. But the paw and with the N falling off would be cute.
There were dogs going in and out of that store all day long while we were building.
Nice. Good foot traffic.
Very good foot traffic.
Good.
Very good.
And paw traffic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You just need to develop like a bra for dogs and you'll be good because.
Well, there are bitches, britches.
Like yeah. Because people who own dogs are crazy about their dogs.
Yeah.
Crazy case guys. In point.
Yeah. Well, and our doggy daycare in Austin in the Travis Lake, Westlake area. Like Travis, Westlake area.
Yeah.
Where people have quite a bit of disposable income.
Yes.
Yeah. We have
it used to not be that way.
We have a spa.
Oh,
where you can get your dog's
spa?
Where you can get your dog's nails polished.
Polished.
It's very cute.
It is cute.
It is.
So I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
You have a very, very interesting tattoo of two X's on your hand.
I was going to ask about that, too.
Is that for the two children?
No, and it's actually not two
is it 20?
X's. It is a Nordic rune.
Oh, now you're talking Lee stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
Are you a Viking too?
I was actually looking at a lot of the letters and the different symbols, and I was like, where can I put that?
Yeah,
but that's awesome.
It is the Nordic rune for ing, I-N-G-H. There's a couple variations of spelling of it.
Uh huh.
Yeah. So it's a masculine and feminine rune. It's a balancing rune, and it's also a rune symbolizing journey and progress.
Is it a new tattoo?
A couple years old.
I haven't noticed it before. That's why I asked.
Yeah, it's funny. It's in a very obvious place, but a lot of people don't notice it. But the location is important to me as well. In Chinese medicine, there are four gates in the body, two of which are the corners between the index finger and the palm and the thumb. Which is why, like, when you have a headache, they're like, yeah, put your hand there, pressure points, gates.
I've ironed that spot before.
Well, that's exactly it. This side, I have a pretty good scar from a burn. And so to balance it out, I have, that was one of the reasons. And I'm left-handed also.
So it's kind of like the Nordic version of the yin-yang.
It kind of is. But the funny part about it is, you know, the Vikings invaded everywhere. I had the very good fortune of accompanying my godfather to Italy when I was a teenager and crawling up Etruscan sewer pipes and stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. And so I used to see this symbol all over the place. And then I studied in Ireland when I was in college and saw it there too. And it was like – it was really interesting and it was like a symbol that I kept seeing over and over and then didn't for a long time until I got to a certain place in my life. And I actually ran into a telephone pole because I wasn't paying attention to where I was walking. Okay. And then I looked up dazed and painted on the telephone pole was that symbol.
Huh.
And it was like, hi, we're the universe and we're going to smack you in the head right now.
We have a message for you and you are not paying attention, both literally and figuratively.
Right.
Yeah.
Smack. Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Lee's a big fan of Vikings.
I am a big fan of Vikings.
The people, the TV show.
Yeah.
The DNA testing. I mean, she is
so
a Viking.
We did one type of DNA testing, but I want to do another one, too.
So I'm curious about that also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did the National Geographic one, and maybe I should have read the entire report, but I got a good amount of information out of it, but I would like to do the 23andMe also.
Just to see how it goes together.
I want to do this, but I'm also paranoid about someone having my personal
possession of your
genome.
You
are an attorney. Didn't you have to go through character and fitness? Well, didn't you get bio scans?
Yeah, but yes. They're like, we're going to need your fingerprint, your retina scan.
I got swabbed. I mean, it's like, honey, we're already in the database.
Everybody can find you. It's not that I think that they're going to sell it off. I'm more concerned about
hacking kind of situations and issues.
Well, that's hacking already blown. I mean,
what?
Hacking your DNA? DNA?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's going to happen. I mean, somebody can break into your house and take a toothbrush if they really want.
Yeah, so I go
Altered
back to
Carbon. Have you been watching it?
No, I haven't.
Are you trying to hypnotize us? What are you doing?
What the hell are you doing? Oh, is this your...
It's my little Icelandic...
He's like swinging this thing around.
He's like, I have a
what
thing.
What are you doing to us?
Is it Icelandic bird's head?
It's clearing the energy.
The Icelandic staves.
Go show it to this guys.
Icelandic...
But yeah, I have the same
you can really see it from here.
Also, and especially since my family is primarily English, Irish, and Scottish, but I know like we're from Southern Ireland, which is primarily Viking.
Yeah.
Which is why I have part of my family that is tall, red-haired, large Irish, and then the other part that is small, black-haired, tiny Irish. And it's like, well.
Right, yeah, because the red that people associate with Celts is actually a Viking thing, not a Celtic thing.
My dad was.
I know nothing about that.
My dad
was
short, jet black hair and an orange beard.
Exactly.
Like a leprechaun.
But that's the funny thing, because people think red hair is Celt. Yeah. But red hair is actually. Viking.
Well, and it also depends, are you Celt or are you Pict?
Right.
So, like, my family that's from more of the Northern Ireland and England were actually Picts.
Right.
And that's the small, that's the Black Irish.
The Black Irish, yeah.
My dad had to tell me about the Black Irish when I was in college and I met a guy who was not Irish looking, but definitely had an Irish name. I'm like, what the hell's up with this? And he's like, oh, he's a Black Irish. He actually said it that way too. He's Black Irish.
I love it. And then, you know, there's all the people who are in, you know, Southern England and Wales who are actually half French.
Right. So, because of the Bretons, because they. The fun thing is, you'll actually find like graves dug by Bretons because they thought England was like a small island off the coast, not this gigantic landmass.
I'm peeling. So I listened to a podcast that I would not recommend unless you're really, really, really into deep, deep, deep English history. It's called the British History Podcast. But I've been listening to it for like 2 years and we're in like 890.
Cool. Awesome.
So he's like, I'm not starting with the Norman Conquest people. Like there's a whole shit ton of history before that. So he's of Welsh descent. He's he's an attorney who escaped practicing.
Reformed.
He's a reformed attorney. But so does a lot of research and, you know, is really into everything. And everybody at this time has the same like ale name. So it's like ale wolf, aleful red, ale blah, blah, blah.
Uh-huh.
So it's really hard to keep track of everyone.
So one of the stories I heard recently about 23andMe, a lady who's a little bit older than I am, and her family is from Texas, and they are Irish, so that's why I'm remembering it. She had a sister, an older sister, who had a baby at 15 or 16, and nobody really – it wasn't talked about. No one knows who the father is, blah, blah, blah. So the baby was adopted out with Catholic services. And it was never really talked about because she had left the town as soon as she started showing. That was normal back then.
Yeah.
And then she died like 3 years later in a house fire. Mm. And so they always lamented the fact that they didn't have her baby. They didn't have that grandchild. And the baby would have been a year older than me. So that's about the time. So it was 68 when the baby was born. And so they did 23andMe, the whole family did, and then they got contacted by someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was him.
Yeah.
And they were like, wait, and they've totally tied it together. And now, and he looks exactly like all the other men in the family, you know?
Well, I have a similar story about someone that the three of us know who whose mother was adopted. And so he didn't really have any knowledge of, you know, who she was adopted by or family or anything. And did one of the tests. I don't know which, you know, whether it's 23andMe or a different one. But and I think got contacted from somebody who was in a genetic relationship to
his mother.
Yeah. So on PBS, Gates does that show Roots, and Taya Leone's mother was adopted. And they.
That's who you remind me of, is Taya Leone. Yeah.
So, and on that show, they went through that whole thing and they talk about the proportions, like biological siblings should have 70% genetic crossover, mm-hmm. And they do all that.
Yeah. My sister and I don't have, it's similar, but there's I'm 19% Southern Italian. She got none of that.
So that's I have five siblings, and that's one of the things that I'm curious about because we do look different. But the flip side of that is I have a very close friend who, you know, as well, who works for the Oakland County Adoption Services. And this is causing a new set of conditions, issues. So when it's a situation where it is amicable, it's great. They have had a situation, though, where like something wasn't widely known, blah, 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 and it was very inappropriately and abruptly confronted. Mm,
so brought to their attention like, hey, by the way.
Right. Yeah. And those are very delicate, very personal situations for all parties involved. Right.
Well, if you're doing a closed adoption, let's say you're giving your child up and you want a closed adoption and you don't want to have contact because, you know, emotionally it's too much for you or whatever, and then you ultimately end up
So
contacted unwantedly. That right.
So it's like anything in life. Circumstances change, variables change, and how all of that happens in the laws and policies relating to it changes. So, but it is interesting. It's like advancement in science.
It is interesting.
You know, and there's a lot of, you know, it's like what I said earlier. It is taking an old recipe and having new ingredients, which is like what we do with Three Squared, because we're dealing with code issues. We're in the middle of the city of Chicago. Wonderful people. The aldermen, we're having great
But this
support.
Isn't something that's addressed in the code. So you have to deal with.
Correct.
And are there zoning issues?
Issues. There's code issues. The biggest thing is the code issue, because there is not currently a UL rating for shipping containers. And you have to have that. For everything, anything. And so, you know, it's taking an old recipe and a new ingredient and working it out and being ambassadors.
And you're doing a great job. I'm very excited. I'm still very excited about that
prospect.
The idea.
Yeah, the idea is awesome.
Of doing a shipping container. Yeah. Well, we have a minute left, Nick is saying.
A minute left. So what do we have to talk about? The non-rouge happened. It was awesome. I wasn't
here. Did you go? Oh, you weren't here. That's right.
Oh, I have pics. I need to post.
Okay, so post the pictures. I did not go because I don't know what I was doing. It was Sunday. But tomorrow is opening day, so do that what you will. Either avoid baseball. It or go and have fun.
But baseball is so much fun. And if it's the traffic that bothers you, park somewhere near
I think it's more that most people go to drink. But the ball game you should still be able to get into because it's not been all that.
It's more the day drinking and public urination that seems to really be the thing that people worry about more.
Right. So some people love it. I used to love it. Some people want to avoid
it. I'm just excited that baseball is back on again. I love baseball. My daddy was a professional baseball player.
Aww. Really? I knew that, but I forgot.
For the Cardinals and the Dodgers, he was a catcher back in the 50s. Aww. And so before he passed, a couple years prior to that, maybe three, he came up here and we went to a game.
Cool. Yeah, that's
nice. I have pictures of him. And his coach's son was the coach of the team that we were against, the Tigers. Yeah, it was kind of neat. Anyway, I like going to the baseball games. So I don't play it. But.
Just one last plug. If anybody, our model center is always open. If people want to come down, take a tour. I don't care if you're a teacher, an elementary school student, an engineer, a professional. Look us up online. Reach out to us. Our doors are open. We love having people, groups, anybody. Just come down and learn.
And I would highly recommend going to do it because it's super
really
cool.
Yeah. I have a quick question. Yeah. I did see where they were taking shipping containers and turning them into swimming pools in people's backyard. Do you do that?
We have done the engineering for it. We haven't done it in practice yet. But also the cool thing is using containers to make mobile swimming pools.
Dun, dun, dun.
Oh, entertainment time.
Yes. So more things we can talk about on another episode. Also, Detachable Penises by King Missile. Or missile. King Missile, I guess, would be an American pronunciation.
That is not who I would have guessed.
Anyway, so speaking of groups, here's the Velvet Spots to put us out. Next week we have Anne Doyle and Grace Jolliffe talking about a lot of subjects, particularly the March for Our Lives, but also women in men's
careers.
Yeah. Because Anne was one of the first sports reporters who broke through the glass locker room door, I guess, would be the way of putting it. Okay, so playing us out, here are the vomit spots.
Yay!